Let me turn again to the passage from which we were reading. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll take our text in the words of verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Now, I don't intend to preach a sermon tonight, but merely to bring a short devotional address before we come to the business part of our meeting. And we have here an instruction addressed to the Church of Christ. Yes, addressed to a Greek church in the 1st century AD, but plainly just as relevant, just as applicable to the Church of God in Point on the Isle of Lewis in the 21st century. In everything, give thanks. And that, therefore, lays down the attitude with which we look to all that we have, all that we have received, all that we have benefited from in this life. In everything, give thanks. For the Apostle says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's the will of God. It is the revealed will of God that we should give thanks. So here, therefore, is a duty, an important duty, an attitude which ought to, which should mark the true believer. In everything, give thanks. It's very important, easily neglected. And yet here is an attitude that sets the people of God apart from the people of this world. Here is something about us that is different to the world around us. The world by nature is not grateful. They imagine that what they have is what they deserve, it's what they have earned, it's what they've obtained by their own efforts. Gratitude does not come naturally. But the Lord's people should be different and must be different. In everything, give thanks. We acknowledge what we have is from God. We recognize our indebtedness to Him and therefore our gratefulness, our thankfulness to the God who has given us such abundant mercies. So that then is our theme. Thanksgiving is God's will. And we'll see three simple reasons why that is the case. Why should we give thanks? Firstly, give thanks because God is sovereign. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. That points us straight away to the fact that everything is under God's control. We do not worship a God who is at the mercy of circumstances, or who is limited by time, or by the process of events, or who is restricted by the decisions that men make in the pursuance of his purpose. Not at all. We worship a God who is absolutely sovereign, the King of the universe, the one who has created all things, the one who made you, who formed you, who set you in this world, who determined all the circumstances you would face. In everything, give thanks. Every circumstance, every blessing, every benefit, every experience. See them as from God. See them for your good. Psalm 47, verse 7, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. And at a meeting like this, where we gather for worship, where we gather to consider the blessings of a past year, let us indeed give thanks to the God who has given these blessings. In everything, everything he has given, everything he has bestowed so abundantly, let us give thanks. We give thanks for material blessings. The Lord has given to us a beautiful church building, and we are so thankful to the Lord for that church. We seek to use this building, this place, for the advancement of the kingdom of God. We do not boast of it in a proud spirit. It was a gift. It can be taken from us. But it is given. It is one of these things, and therefore we give thanks. We give thanks for the finances, which will be recorded in our sheets later, for the blessing of the Lord's people willingly giving to support a ministry in this place, to support an eldership in this place, to support an ongoing ministry from week to week. Again, yes, it is we who have put our money into that plate, but it's the Lord who gave us that money in the first place, and who softened our hard hearts, our greedy hearts, to be willing to give that money. It is from the Lord. It is of the Lord. And therefore to the Lord be the praise, be the gratitude for it. It is the Lord who has given us these precious scriptures that we need. It is the Lord's voice that speaks to us here when the preaching is truly in accordance with that word of truth. Oh, that we would give thanks for the blessing of God on his people, on his church. Yes, material blessing. Yes, personal blessing. We think of the blessing which we have been given, of a faithful congregation that knows the Lord, that loves the Lord. That's a precious thing. It's a precious thing to have that fellowship in him. It's a precious thing to gather with people and to know that they share your faith. To look at elders and to know you have confidence in them, that yes, they are men of God, that yes, they will seek to be examples to the flock. We're not saying we're perfect. Of course we're not. But what we are saying is that the Lord, in his mercy, has brought together like-minded brethren. And that is a matter for thankfulness. We are thankful to the Lord for giving us two new office bearers in recent times, a new elder and a new deacon. And that again is from the Lord. The Lord raised these men up. The Lord brought them to this place. The Lord brought them to our congregation. And most importantly, the Lord gave them a heart willing to serve in these capacities. The Lord's been pleased to bring together a minister and a congregation. And that's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing for me. I know what it is to be a minister looking for a congregation and waiting. I know the privilege of having a congregation. And you as a congregation who were vacant, you know the privilege, the blessing of having your own minister. So we both have reason, have ground for thankfulness in these matters. These blessings you see are all direct from God. In everything, give thanks. But you know, we can lift our eyes off these merely human matters and we can consider the gospel which we have. In everything give thanks. And here is a gospel message offered to us, which speaks of salvation, which speaks of the forgiveness of sins, which brings a hope beyond this world. You know, children, I've been marking essays recently. It's essays that children and teenagers have sent in for the Scottish Reformation Society's essay writing competitions. So I've been busy collecting these essays over the last couple of days, and they've been writing about Zwingli, who was one of the reformers. Now, Zwingli grew up in a Roman Catholic country, Switzerland, before the Reformation, and he was a Roman Catholic priest. He was there thinking that he was doing everything in accordance with the Bible when he was serving people the Mass. But thankfully, the Lord gave Zwingli a heart to study, and he studied the Bible. He studied God's Word. And he tested what he was doing by God's word. And we're thankful that the Lord opened that man's eyes to see that what he was doing was wrong, to see that practices need to change. And over time, he adjusted, he changed. He brought in a reformation in Switzerland that still is a blessing and a benefit to us today. The work of God in bringing us to understand the gospel message, to see it as it is revealed in Scripture. Salvation in Jesus Christ alone. And what a precious gift that is. In everything, give thanks. And all the privileges which we have here. Give thanks because God is sovereign. Secondly, give thanks because God is kind. In everything, give thanks, says the apostle. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Concern you. It speaks of how this will is revealed. The will of God is revealed in Christ Jesus, in Jesus Christ. And truly, Jesus Christ shows us mercy upon mercy, grace upon grace, the kindness of God to his people. Think of the Saviour that we have in Christ. Think upon him who looked upon his people when yet they were in their sins. Looked upon you, looked upon me, and loved us. With all the ugliness which he could see plainly, yet he loved. Yet he came in that love as the Lord Jesus Christ, lived here for us, died here for us, is risen again, and is now our Saviour, on the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for his people. Now he secures that salvation for his people. And truly we must say, it is his work. It is his achievement. It is because he is kind. And oh, is that not good reason to give thanks to God that there is a kind salvation in him? The kindness of our God. Luke 6:35 says the Lord Jesus teaching his disciples, but love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Oh, don't we know that ourselves? He is kind to the evil, to the unthankful. Oh, well, we have been unthankful in times past, but oh, may the Lord give us a spirit of thankfulness this night for the salvation which Christ brings. We thank him for the Saviour. We thank him for the experience of salvation, God's presence coming into our lives, the change that that brought, the new joy, the new comfort which we have in the Lord Jesus, the new sights we have of Christ. These are precious, sweet blessings indeed. Above all, we thank him for the salvation he has purchased. A full, free pardon from the justice of God. Is that not marvellous? Is that not wondrous? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, should we not give thanks unto him whose kindness, whose love, whose compassion is shown to us in the gospel, and more importantly, goes on into eternity, goes on forever, for that salvation is a permanent salvation. It is a salvation for all eternity. Give thanks because God is sovereign. Give thanks because God is kind. Third, give thanks because God is wise. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. It means the negatives as well as the positives. It means the blows that we sometimes receive in life, as well as the comfortable experiences. We sometimes must face hard things in this life. And the Apostle says, in everything, in every experience, give thanks. For we know all things work together for good to them who are... I'm sorry, I've lost it slightly. I'll find it in the text. It's Romans chapter 8, and I'm reading verse 28. Let's get the wording exactly. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And what a precious text that is. It is not an easy text to believe. It's an easy text to read. It's an easy text to say. But it's not an easy text to believe. To truly believe that our circumstances are actually working together for our good and are actually benefiting us as God's people. It doesn't seem that way. Here we are, we're praying for God's blessing. And the truth is that we are not seeing spiritual outpouring. We're not seeing the Lord's presence in revival. We are not even, so far as we're aware, seeing the power of the Lord at work in conversions. So far, we have not seen anyone professing faith in this congregation since the ministry began. And these are hard providences. We would long to see more. We pray for fruit. We would love to see new ones starting to attend in public worship. We would love to see new evidence of the Lord's power at work around us. But you see, in everything, give thanks. In these difficult experiences, give thanks. There's an interesting text in the Gospel of Luke. Luke 10, verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. I thank thee that thou hast hid things from the wise and prudent. That seems strange to us. Why is he thankful that the wise, the clever of his day, were not delighting in the coming of the Messiah? That it was not the brilliant people who were receiving the Christ with open arms? Isn't it instructive? He's thankful that it was the poor of this world, it was the fishermen, it was the despised tax collector, it was the widow, it was the blind man, it was the poor and the despised who received the Lord Jesus. And he is thankful for that, because it shows it is the power of God, not the brilliance of man. It's not the cleverness of ourselves that has brought us to the liberty of the gospel. It's the power of God at work. And so we see there can be ground for thanksgiving even when God does not work, even when he does not pour down blessing. Plainly, the Lord is teaching us. Plainly, he is humbling us. Maybe we have not learned the lesson yet. Maybe he must teach it to us some more. But oh, that our ears would be open to hear his teaching. Oh, that indeed we would get the benefit from the experiences that he is giving us. He is not reviving. He is not on any great scale converting at present. Is he not showing us the limits of our own power, of our own ability? Is he not bringing us more to the throne of grace? Is he not showing us more our need to depend upon himself? I know that we would learn that lesson, and therefore that we would be thankful to him for the blessings, for the guidance, for the teaching we have, but also responsive to that teaching, ready and willing to learn from the Master. Above all, we are thankful for the hope which we have lying ahead of us. In everything, give thanks. Why can we give thanks in every experience? Because we have a hope beyond this world. And no matter how bleak, how miserable, how dark our circumstances here, yet there is a prospect of joy, of gladness beyond this life, above this present plane of existence to which we are heading. That is a blessing. And it is a blessing reserved for the Lord's people, a privilege for them, and all the comfort that that brings. So you see the comfort. You see the reason for thanksgiving. So, as our text teaches, thanksgiving is God's will. Let us be those, therefore, who give thanks. Let us experience that thankfulness, even as we see, as we speak of the blessings, the provision of the Lord over the past year. Let us feel that thankfulness in our hearts. Let us give that thankfulness to God in our sung praise, in our prayers, whether of the heart or of the lips. Let us give to him the glory that to his name is due. It is his work, not ours. It is his church, not ours. And therefore may he be glorified and exalted in the midst. But then again, let's not stop there. We never stop just with thanking God for what has passed. Let us also look to the future as well. And let us not be satisfied with what we have experienced thus far. We pray that we will have more to be thankful for when we meet here again next year. We pray that we will have greater blessings. And I'm not speaking about material things,
I'm speaking about spiritual things, greater reasons for thankfulness next year than even we have had this year. We pray that the Lord would indeed work mightily. Let us not be those of little faith. You know, children, there's a wonderful story told of when Elisha the prophet was dying. And the king of Israel, a worldly king, not a good king, an evil king, came to visit him. He was a great man. He was the prophet of the Lord. The king came to visit. The king was weeping. The king was mourning that this godly prophet was passing. And the prophet told him to do something. He said, take that sheaf of arrows that you're holding and beat it upon the ground. And the king thought it a strange thing. And he beat it 3 times upon the ground. And then he stopped. That was enough. That was enough. He had done it 3 times. And the prophet was angry. He said, no, I am prophesying. I am giving you a commandment from the Lord. If you'd done it 5 times, if you'd done it 6 times, that would have been so much better. As it is, you will defeat your enemies 3 times. But if you had struck 5 or 6 times, you would have defeated them entirely. There's a spiritual application from that, and it is very plain. Let us be earnest in our prayers for the Lord's whole blessing. Let us not just seek a little part, a little portion of blessing. Let us not be selfish in our prayers and just focus on our own immediate circumstances. Let us ask that the Lord would bless and bless abundantly. Bless mightily. Bless above what we could ask or even think. Let us be those who, in our prayers, think big. And let us see that the Lord is well able to answer. Oh, that indeed we would see his power at work. Isaiah 64. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. Amen. The Lord bless his word.